The epistle appointed to be read for this, the 11th Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the first epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, I recall to your minds the gospel that I preached to you, which also you received, wherein also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold it fast, as I preached it to you, unless you have believed to no purpose. For I delivered to you first of all what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and after that to the 11. Then he was seen by more than 500 brethren at one time, many of whom are still with us, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, and last of all, as by one born out of due time, he was also seen by me. For I am the least of the apostles, and am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and by his grace in me, and his grace in me has not been fruitless. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Mark. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus, departing from the district of Tyre, came by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee through the midst in the district of Decapolis. And they brought to him one deaf and dumb, and entreated him to lay his hand upon him. And taking him aside from the crowd, he put his fingers into the man's ears, and spitting, he touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be thou opened. And his ears were at once opened, and the bond of his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak correctly. And he charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, so much the more did they continue to publish it, and so much the more did they wonder, saying, he has done all things well. He has made both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. First of all, this morning, my beloved people, must tell you and ask for prayers. Yesterday afternoon, our Ross Gimbroni from St. Pius Chapel in Birmingham died. I ask you for your prayers.
In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost, Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Eternal rest grant unto him, O Lord. May his soul rest in peace. May the souls of all the faithful departed, with mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
As of this telling, my dear people, there are absolutely no signs whatsoever of any plans concerning the funeral of Ross Gimbroni. So I have nothing to tell you concerning that. This gentleman has been with, in saying the Holy Mass as I started in 1979. He has been with me, except for times of sickness. He has been from the very first time that I said Mass, he has been present at Mass that I have said. And I'm grateful for that, and I praise him for that. He has been a very faithful individual in that regard. But as I say, I know nothing as to what or when or anything about it, about his funeral. Today, I am really not going to preach to you because there is a very definite lesson in today's bulletin. And I would like very much to suggest that you study what today's bulletin has to say. We want to live, it is our desire to live, a holy religion. And that's why we're here. And we spoke on this at length last Sunday, actually, about the truthfulness of what we're supposed to be doing and of our action. And of course, we spent our time focusing it on the two men that went up to the temple to pray. There are those, unfortunately, and for whatever reason only they can tell, who shy away from this parable. This parable concerning the two men that went up to the temple to pray is an extremely incisive parable. It comes to the point. Yes, it is a parable, but there is perhaps the strongest object lesson in all of our Blessed Lord's words in this particular parable. And it's frightening. It's very frightening. It's very frightening to people who do not understand. It's very frightening to people who do not want to understand and who run from it, thinking that by running from it, they can run away from their shadow. And so they run. And they run all their lives, and their shadow is still right with them. The question of prayer and proper prayer, is something that we must keep uppermost in our minds. We pray. Many of us pray very much. Many of us say very many prayers. But my beloved people, the responsibility on our part, the obligation, I should say, on our part, is that the prayer that comes from us has to come genuinely from our hearts. If it does not come from our hearts, if it is not embedded in true and honest love for Almighty God, then, my beloved people, we are babbling. And what we are saying does not reach the ear of God. We have much to want. We have much to desire. We have need. Then, in order to obtain that which we desire, then we simply have to have a proper inclination in our hearts when we are addressing God. People flee from this parable. I don't know why, but that's between them and God. So let us, as we work to become acceptable to Almighty God, let us know where we start from. Today's bulletin is very strong, it's very pointed. And one thing that I also wish to point out at this stage is that whereas our bulletins formerly were just for us, but now they are not just for us. So sometimes things may be said in our bulletins that may not directly apply to us, because now, by the grace of God, this word is carried throughout the world each week. And so we try to have something to say to whoever might be looking, to whoever might be listening, hoping that some good will come to whoever, and that whoever might be able to save his or her immortal souls. We are not sufficiently aware of the desire of Almighty God for the salvation of souls. So this morning, and I will conclude by that, I ask you, all of you, to join us, monks and nuns, in a constant prayer for the salvation of souls, wherever and whoever. This is extremely important in this time. And as has been mentioned to you before, all you have to notice of its importance is pick up a crucifix and look at it. That crucifix will tell you how important the salvation of the soul is to Almighty God. And so we have to give him our prayer. We have to give him our mortification. We have to give him our suffering. Many of us are suffering from a variety of reasons, whether sickness or a mental suffering or dejection or family problems or whatever. All these things are sufferings. Let us join them all together and offer them to God for the welfare of souls. It is serious. It is grim. We're living in a world that is totally uninterested or disinterested in what we're talking about. And so let us, my beloved people, give to God what God asks. And we've come to the point of almost hearing the reverse of what St. Peter once said to our Lord. He said to our Lord, "Our Lord, dear Lord, dear God, if we cannot come to thee, to whom shall we go?" Today it has come to the point, as strong as it may sound, that we might, if we listen carefully, that we might hear our Lord himself asking, "If I cannot come to you, to whom shall I go?" It's as serious as that. God is pleading with us. How sad. How very, very sad, my dear people.